Christian ought to be able to correctly teach the word of truth.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week we heard Pastor Brian Grant taking his message from the second chapter of 2 Timothy, how the primary requirement for pursuing and enjoying the victory God has in store for every believer is to stay focused on God's mission. In other words, why did he save you in the first place? Pastor Grant went on to describe from the life witness of the Apostle Paul that this mission does not promise anyone an easy ride to glory. There will be much opposition. Rejoin us now as Pastor Grant continues his message, Pursuing Victory, three key requirements for pursuing our victory. Here again is Pastor Grant.
I want to say to some of you young people who believe that living for pleasure is where it's at, I want to tell you that when you fail to live for Jesus, you are missing the greatest opportunity of your life. Because living for Jesus and walking with Jesus puts you on a road that's filled with joy and that's filled with meaning and that's filled with purpose. And I'm not making it up. I've experienced it. Amen. I've experienced it. By God's grace, I got saved when I was just a little boy, and as a teenager and as a young man in college, I was able to understand and experience that God can fill me, my heart, with joy, joy, joy. Yes. So we don't have to look over the fence. Amen? We don't have to look over the fence to see what everybody else is doing. Because in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Oh, I encourage you, walk with Jesus. It's a joy-filled road. Listen. And it's a road on which Jesus will always hold our hand. He holds my hand. Jesus holds my hand. And I tell you what a purpose he gives. Amen. How he can restore us. Amen. How he can restore us in so many ways. We'll talk about that another time. I'm so glad I'm on that road with Jesus. Are you on the road, sir? Are you on that road, young person? Are you on the road with Jesus? If you're not sure you're on that road, I'm going to encourage you that before you leave here today, you get started on that road by coming and receiving Christ as your Savior. So what have we said so far? The time seems to be moving a little faster. You know, the amazing thing is I came in here not feeling good. But boy, I tell you, the Lord has restored my... Amen. As we pursue victory, first, we must stay focused on God's mission. Am I right about that? So if you don't mind, I'm going to preach the message till it's over. Amen. We must stay focused on God's mission. But second, we must strive to become God's approved workers. We must strive to become God's approved workers. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." One of my prayers is to see a revived interest for the Word of God among all of us, but particularly among the younger generation. For write this down, God's approved workers must be able to correctly teach the Word of truth. Amen? God's approved workers must be able to correctly teach the word of truth. You should not have to depend upon the pastors and the Bible teachers, every Christian ought to be able to correctly teach the word of truth. Nobody said much that time. One of the big dangers of facing the 21st century church is that pulpits are being taken over by individuals who use the Bible but who show little desire to rightly divide the word of truth. Did you notice that little phrase? A worker who rightly divides the word of truth. It's important that we rightly divide the word of truth. When we teach God's word, we must make sure we're teaching what God is saying. Amen? Don't fake it until we make it. So you have, although people are teaching from the Bible, they leave off stuff they disagree with, and they add things that are not in the Bible. But write this down. We must be very wary. Some of you are off to college, and some of you may go into other places. Some of you may decide, I'm going to change churches. But no matter what you do, write this down. We must be very wary of Bible teachers who share only half of the truth. For half of the truth often results in a total lie. Some preachers leave off some parts that they don't like, and they add stuff. You know, I'll never forget a video the young adult showed us, in which a well-known pastor was teaching about grave sucking. Anybody knows about grave sucking? Believe it or not, it's a preacher teaching about grave sucking. So I said, boy, I missed that part of the Bible. So they showed me the video. What is grave sucking? He was encouraging young people to spend a few days sleeping on the graves. So a godly person dies and they're buried. He said, you must go to their grave and you must sleep there for a few days. And as you sleep on the grave of a godly person, you will suck up their anointing. You're laughing. You think it's cute. I laugh myself, but I didn't believe it was possible. I had to see it. They had to bring me the video and show me for myself that there was actually a servant of God who was actually teaching people. And by the way, this is a mega church, and he's telling people, and people are, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Since I'm already over time, I may as well go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. It says here, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Listen now, are you there with me in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1? It says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets. The Bible says, test the spirits. Amen. Just because somebody is a preacher, don't necessarily go along. Test the spirit. False teaching is spreading today faster than the truth. And so although the church at Ephesus was planted by the Apostle Paul. Now just look at the credentials of the church at Ephesus. It was planted by the Apostle Paul and being pastored by Timothy. Despite the fact that it had such good credentials, false teaching was spreading like cancer. I'm not making it up. Look at verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Can you imagine? Hymenaeus, people are saying, did you hear that deep word from Hymenaeus? It's such a deep word. He was preaching that the resurrection was already past, and people were buying it. And as I'm reading it, I'm saying, but if you're so deep, Didn't it strike you that if the resurrection is past, why are you still here? You see, false teaching, sometimes we shut our brain down and we go along when this thing is obviously not of God. That the resurrection is past. And, oh, what a deep word. The Bible says it was spreading like cancer. Approved workers must be seasoned in God's word. But here's a second thing about approved workers to add to your notes. Approved workers make time to study God's word. Amen. Approved workers make time to study God's word. You can circle the word make time, for this will take effort and commitment. You're not just going to automatically decide to study. You must make time. Put for me, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 on the screen in the King James Version. I want to see everybody to see this in the King James Version. Here's how it reads. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, if we're going to rightly divide the word of truth, we must do that first word. What is the word? Study. Amen. You're not going to become an approved worker by osmosis. It takes time and effort. We must study. Listen, movie stars, they work hard studying their lines. Those who are going to win in the Olympics, it takes time and effort. Even the 76ers work hard as they dream of winning an NBA championship. Perhaps one of these days it will become more than a dream. But sadly, many Christians make little effort to study. What's the word? Study. Is studying only for the preacher?
No.
Is it only for the old people? Is this studying for the young people? Study. Approved workers must make time to study God's word. Amen. We must take time. Are you studying at home? And here, let me be very frank. I am thankful to God there's such a resurgence of interest in Bible study. I mean, during the summer months, in the spring, we had about four Bible classes going, and most of them were very, very well attended. But there's a demographic that's usually missing. I'm as frank as they come. You may say, why do you all put him up so often? We are missing the younger generation. And I want to challenge the teenagers. I want to challenge the young adults that you need to participate. You need to make more of an effort to be at the Bible studies that your home church puts on so that we can study together. And we're going to start another series on Tuesday regarding the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to do a PR, but I'm trying to encourage us to make sure we get busy studying. So as we pursue victory, first, we must stay focused on God's mission. Second, we must strive to become God's approved workers. And here's the third and final thing I'd like to say. We must commit to becoming vessels of honor. We must commit to becoming vessels of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. I'm coming back to that part in a moment. Paul uses the metaphor, a great house, to refer to the church and points out that some in the church are vessels of honor, but there are some in the church who are vessels of dishonor. The text mentions two of the things that causes us to be vessels of dishonor. So let's write this down in our notes. Two of the main things that causes us to be vessels of dishonor are sinful lusts and false teaching. So let's ask ourselves this question. Am I being captivated by any sinful lust? Am I being enticed by any false teaching? You know, in verse number 22 of 2 Timothy, he tells us what to do to deal with the one of sinful lust. He says, verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. He doesn't tell us to pray. Yes, we're to pray. But the first thing we need to do is to what? What is the first thing in verse 22? You can call out to me. Flee. What is flee? Is that fleeing? Ask Usain Bolt what fleeing is. It means to run with all you got. Amen. Run with all your got. And while you're running, instead of standing and praying, flee. And while you flee, you pray, Lord Jesus, help me. Are you with me this morning? Let's not stand before the temptation. This is the problem. We stand before the temptation. Oh, I wish I could be more graphic, but I'm on stream. So I'll leave it alone. But I stand before the temptation. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you see I'm being tempted. You see what's in front of me, Jesus. Won't you help me, Jesus? Won't you help me, Jesus? So what the Bible said to do? Flee! And while you're fleeing, you can pray, Lord Jesus, help me not to turn back and go back here. Lord, let me keep running. Amen. Add this to your notes. Pursuing righteousness means pursuing after God. So what do you want to do about this false teaching? Because, you know, somehow Christians are getting more and more sucked into it. They hear something on the radio. The next thing they know, they come. Pastor, why don't we do so and so? That's all right. I don't mind you asking. So keep asking, all right? But sometimes it's good for first before you come that you do what the Bible says. It says here, avoid, verse 23. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle all, able to teach patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may know the truth. Part of the challenge with us, listen, is that we listen too much to nonsense. You know, we listen to a lot of nonsense on YouTube, you know. A lot of preaching that is from the pit of hell. We're listening. And then we're passing it on. We're forwarding it. And we have not tested the preaching against the Word of God. So write this. We must stop listening to foolish disputes. Sometimes we're in all these disputes where people who don't believe God are arguing. We must stop listening to foolish disputes designed to challenge the Bible and instead invest time to grow in God's word. Amen? Listen, when we spend time instead of listening to all this stuff everybody is telling you where the Bible is wrong, instead of listening to that, pick up your Bible and start reading. And the more you read, the more the God will make the Bible clear and you'll recognize the truth of God's holy word. Am I right about that? Listen, it will allow us to teach the word and correct those who oppose God's word. Let's instead invest time and to study God's word. Let me close by sharing the rest of Eric Liddell's story. Because Eric Liddell was not only an Olympic champion and world record holder, this was quite an athlete. And he was also such an amazing rugby player that he was a member of Scotland's Rugby Hall of Fame. So he's one of the greatest sprinters of his time, and he's also one of the greatest rugby players of his time. And as you would imagine, this presented him with a lot of opportunities to make money and to get famous. But Eric Liddell was totally committed to pursuing God's will for his life. And so he turned down all the opportunities for money, all the opportunities for fame. And instead he offered himself to serve as a missionary to China. What an amazing decision. During World War II, the Japanese took control of the mission station that he was serving. And in 1945, at the age of 43, he went home to be with his Savior. You know, I wanted to share that last part because sometimes some would listen and say, what a waste. But from Eric Liddell's standpoint, that was not a waste. For Eric Liddell had pursued victory. He was pursuing the victory God had put in front of him. And he was looking forward to hearing these words from his master. Well done, good and faithful servant. He gave everything. He gave everything for Jesus. And today, as we close this message, God is calling on us here gathered and to all those who will hear this message on the radio or on the internet. He's calling all of us to pursue our victory and to pursue after the things of God, that we might run our race like Eric Liddell did, looking to hear from the Master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Father, I pray that even now, that your Spirit might burn your word in our hearts, that we might be those individuals who would pursue after God. We may pursue the victory that God has in store for us.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.